Thank you, Gary. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow, good morning, Unity of Lawrence. Good morning. It is just a joy to see you and to be here. And I that song, Gary, just truly spoke to my heart and very much spoke to what my talk's about today. So, happy Memorial Day weekend. Happy Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Oh, what is that, right? Well, you're going to hear more than you want, so let me just... You asked for it, right? It's all your fault. No. Yes, and one other day worth noting. Happy Shavuos. Yeah, right. If you didn't know what Pentecost Sunday is, you probably really don't know what Shavuos is. But this is all going to be a lot of fun because I have actually been thinking about this talk for around 3 years. I didn't write it 3 years ago. I wrote it yesterday, but that's not the point. I've been thinking about it. And I just want to say Chag Sameach. That's happy holiday in Hebrew. And this is a holiday. This is a lot of holidays all rolled into one. And when I saw this date on David's request for speakers, I went, yes, my date. I can't believe it. I'm going to get to give this talk. So thank you, David, and everyone. So, all right. So this is a pretty big weekend. We're honoring all those who served in our military, defending us, the men and women who've dedicated their lives. We hope we take this time to honor them, remember them, to reawaken that knowing of what they gave their lives for. Those who died in service, those who survived, they too, their lives were changed. And they're not just our fathers and brothers, but also our sisters and daughters. So, Pentecost. Well, let's start with Shavuos. Shavuos is a major holiday in the Jewish liturgical calendar. You might not know this, but I was raised Jewish. I have a very, very strong Jewish background, and it really does color everything I do. It's the soup I was stewed in, and I'm sorry, as Christian as I may become, I will always retain that flavor. And so Shavuos, you can tell an important Jewish holiday from a minor Jewish holiday, like Hanukkah, because it's a no-work day. And Shavuos is a no-work day, so it's a big one. Shavuos follows Passover. In fact, it is exactly 50 days from Passover. And that may sound familiar to you because Pentecost is exactly 50 days from Passover. Something's happening here. So I think about these holidays because Pentecost is an important day in the church, maybe not in Unity, but we'll talk about why it could be. And Shavuos, of course, goes back to my childhood. But we have to remember that back in the day, before our modern lives took over, life was very cyclical. Things didn't change year to year. They kind of went around the same thing every year, originally, according to the seasons. I mean, what we call pagan was, you know, natural nature religion. And monotheism comes along, some 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, and is built on top of this pagan structure. But it's tweaked. It's tweaked to give it meaning. It's tweaked to give the meaning of God, to keep that balance between God and man, to uplift us to greater meaning than just what we do naturally. We're calling in order, we're calling in social justice, we're calling in greater meaning through what we now know as monotheism, Judaism. Today, of course, we don't We may cycle around. We may notice the displays changing in the store. Christmas stuff going up before Thanksgiving. That really bothers me. I don't know why. But it does. But it wasn't always that way. You know, today we always have somewhere to go. Time is linear for us. It's you know, I bet there's not a person in this room who doesn't have an event on their calendar coming up in the next month. Raise your hand if you don't have an event coming up. Show of hands, I don't see any. This is how we live. We live to the next goal. We live to the next accomplishment. We live to the next event. And that's okay. That's not knocking it. I'm just saying it's different from how evolution put us here. Evolution didn't create us to have this kind of life. It did create us to have community, to not know change that much. And of course, in the modern age, we have a lot of change. I could give another talk on that sense of anxiety that we all feel because of all these changes, but let's not think about that. In fact, let's for a moment just close your eyes and picture a time when there were no clocks, there were no schedules, just life had a rhythm, had a natural rhythm to it. And at the harvest time, you reaped, and then you stored, and then you came back around to the spring, and you gave honor, deference to that magnificent renewal, that rebirth of nature, that hearkened again to the planning, to the sustenance, and with great humility, with great deference, these puny human beings acknowledged a great, powerful God. Ah, it almost just relaxes you a little bit. People lived more relaxed at one time than we do now. But we evolve. We've evolved not so much physically anymore. I think we gave that up around 50,000 years ago. We evolve intellectually, we evolve in consciousness. And Jesus shows up on the historic stage, history stage, at a time when in a Jewish world, this monotheism thing, Judaism in its location had traction, it lasted a while. And Jesus is born into this cyclical pattern of Jewish life. And his disciples, the people he gathered around him to work with him, to share his message, his hand-picked buddies, they were Jewish as well. And the Jewish festivals are the framework for Christianity. And I want to point this out. This is very important to me. This is something a lot of people vaguely be aware of, but I have this very clear understanding. So let me share a little bit about how important some of these holidays are. We have Passover. We have Passover is a central, meaningful event in Jewish history, of the history of Jewish people. This is the freedom from bondage. This is God, the hand of God, coming forth and bringing a people out of slavery. I mean, even Abraham Lincoln didn't do that. This is magical, almost. And an interesting thing about Passover, you'd think it'd be a big celebration. It's a celebration of sorts. It's not a stand-up dance, rock and roll, you know, have a party. In fact, the 50 days from Passover to Shavuos, also called the Feast of Weeks, is considered a semi-mourning period. No weddings are allowed, no parties where there would be dancing, you wouldn't open a business during this time, you wouldn't do anything fun, because even though the Jewish people are out of bondage, they're not there yet, they're not where they're going, because the place they're going is the Torah, is the law. And the law doesn't come until Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and brings it down. Or so we're taught. I mean, we all know that's not what happened. But in the mythical understanding of a people, this is the story that is told. So even in the days, the ancient days of the first temple, we're talking about Solomon's temple. We're not talking about the temple built after Nebuchadnezzar. We're not talking about the second temple. We're talking about the first temple. Every day for 50 days, as an offering, the people brought to the temple an omer. An omer is a unit of measure. An omer of barley. And brought it to the temple as an offering. Which another word for an offering is a sacrifice. It's a love offering, but in this case it wasn't so much out of love, it was out of tradition. And it also fed the priests, but we won't go there. So the counting of the Omer is 50 days from Passover to Shavuos, at which time the parties come back. Small interesting thing, there's one day, Jews are nothing if practical, there is one day in the middle of that where you can get married and have parties and stuff. And this tradition goes on to this day. You might not know it, but trust me, this has not changed in 4,000 years. So for me, it's very meaningful. And here I am in unity, which is built on top of Judaism by way of Christianity, and there's this thread, and it shows up as Pentecost. Pentecost in Greek means 50 days. Oh my goodness, where do I know this from? It's really cool. So, Pentecost. You may, if you're from a traditional church, you may be familiar with Pentecost as an important day. It's known as the birthday of the church. So where does it come? It comes 50 days after Passover. We know Jesus comes into Jerusalem the week before Passover. He's crucified, supposedly on Passover, taken down 3 days later. He's risen, is Easter. And, of course, we know that in consciousness is that overcoming of death, overcoming limitation, overcoming illusion and perception of limits. Jesus is the way shower for us as our total possibility as spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings having this physical experience, but we are not limited by our physical experience. And this is what, in unity, we understand. The death and resurrection of Jesus as. So imagine Jesus dies and these 12 guys, well, there were 12, then there were 11, then there were 12 again. These 12 men are up in the upper room where they gathered, their clubhouse, that place where they last celebrated Jesus' life. And they are in mourning. They are bereft. They are lost. They don't know what to do. Should they go out? They're kind of scared. They're not unified. They don't have a leader. It's a tough time for the disciples in that upper room. So Pentecost means 50. So here's the 50th day. This is where it gets interesting. For Jews, we know this is the time between Passover and Shavuos, the bringing of the law. But in Christianity, this is the bringing of the message of Jesus onto the world stage as the church. And how does this happen? Well, we're told in Acts, I suppose we're not all carrying our Bibles to church, so I will read it for you. It's the second chapter in Acts. Now, Acts follows John, which is the fourth gospel. So it's a whole history to Acts that's don't want you to take it literal except for this story, for the moment. So, here we go. Second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. So there's a tongue of fire on each of the disciples. Get a little graphic here. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So everybody in the room, the 12 disciples, are talking in languages supposedly that they knew from other times and places, but different. Each one was different. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered. So these guys have gone out. They've gone out and they're still talking in all these different languages. Because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" I'll skip a little. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. And he goes on to give a speech. And just backtrack. I'll even stop there. Sound familiar, this speaking in different languages? Have you heard this before in your Bible stories? Tower of Babel from the early Genesis. Well, this is the Tower of Babel in reverse. So here these disciples have received what they're experiencing as the Holy Spirit. Didn't have the Holy Spirit before this moment. They were, let's go like this, no Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to them, and they're filled with new energy, new understanding, new possibility, new faith, new love. And they're pumped. They are ready to go. They are on fire, literally, no joke. I don't know, I'm such a nerd. I find that fun. Okay. So, we haven't heard any of the disciples make a speech before, have we? Jesus made all the speeches, right, in the four Gospels? He was the one who gave the lessons, the people followed. He was the big guy. Well, he's gone. But he's not gone, because the Holy Spirit has now entered his disciples. This is the beginning of what we know as the Apostolic Church. So Peter, who's done everything wrong up until now, he goes and gives a speech out in public, his first speech. He's never done this before. He's totally unprepared. But he goes out and supposedly 3,000 people are converted and baptized right at that very minute after he speaks. Now that's powerful. So why have I wanted to give this talk for all this time? Well, it's not about the church, although it could be. Peter converts 3,000 people and they are baptized. Well, what are we talking about, baptized? We know John the Baptist was taking people into the Jordan and baptizing them. We know that Jesus and John was baptized, and that's where he receives the Holy Spirit. All right, connection, baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit. You following me? It's coming together, right? Well, has anyone heard of Whitson? It's got a taker, great. In traditional Christianity, especially in England, Whit Sun, Pentecost Sunday, is the day that people got baptized. They put on white robes and they went to some body of water and they got dunked and they renewed their faith. They renewed their love of God, their love of Jesus, their love of the Christ, whatever they interpreted that as, and their Christian expression. And this is traditionally a day when baptisms were performed. I'm not talking about the infant thing. And this is the understanding that God poured out wisdom, wit, that's the understanding, wit was wisdom. And it was the beginning of the Holy Spirit in the individual believer. So we've got the wind, reminiscent of Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. Anyone familiar with that? And God breathed the breath into the dry bones and they came alive. So there's all this imagery of life being on fire, the breath of God making dry bones, bringing them alive with faith. And the idea of baptism, that, and the speaking in other languages, that hearing spirit in your language, in your heart, in your understanding, whatever language you speak, you're getting the message. So God is showing up in the lives of people who are going to take the message forward. So the baptism thing stuck with me because I've been thinking about doing a baptism for myself. I'm going to be a unity minister, metaphysical baptism. It's been staying with me. Thought I'd share that. I haven't done it yet. Maybe if I do, I'll invite you all one day. But Charles Fillmore talks about baptism. In fact, got mentioned this morning, we were blessed with that baptism of rain last night, right? So Charles Fillmore talks about baptism as being both a denial and an affirmation. Water baptism is the cleansing away of error thought, washing away of the old. He says water baptism symbolizes a cleansing process, the letting go of error. It is the first step in the realization of truth. It is the process of pouring into consciousness the dissolving power of the Word. And it breaks up and washes away all thoughts of materiality. This is the Word in the form of denial. Water baptism indicates a letting go attitude of thought, denial. Spiritual baptism is the positive, a taking on, an affirmation. All growth takes place through these two attitudes, he says, a letting go and a taking hold, or denial and affirmation. First, we let go of old material concepts. We cannot get into a new consciousness until we let those go. He goes on to say, spiritual baptism is a coming into our minds, a new thought direct from the fountainhead, and where we see everything in a new light. That would be the Christ light. When the mind has received words of truth, the way is open for the healing power, which is called the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of wholeness, to descend further into the body consciousness. This outpouring or inpouring of the Holy Spirit is the second baptism. That is pretty powerful. Thank you, Charles. He's a pretty smart fellow. And that comes from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Pentecost, if we read further in the Bible here, which I like to do, it's a fulfillment of two promises. Peter goes on to quote Joel. He quotes the description of the coming Messiah, and he's giving a mini sermon, and he's saying how Jesus fulfilled that law. Jesus is the Messiah. And he's also quoting the New Testament, where Jesus says that in John 16, that he will send another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. So that's what today is about, the Spirit of love, that renewing spirit of truth, and that dedication in love to that spirit of truth. Kind of special. I won't go into modern day Pentecostals. That actually happened in the 20th century. So we see the disciples rekindled and filled with new energy, new conviction, and new dedication. My mother tells the story of being bat mitzvahed. Now, my mother's a card-carrying atheist, I want you to know. Totally anti any religion at all. There's not a good one as far as she's concerned. And yet, she was raised in a fairly traditional Jewish home. And so this is 1941, I imagine, doing the math. And she's around 12 or 13. And girls are now being considered as, you know, worthy of educating in American Judaism. And on Shavuos, the girls line up in their white finery with their flowers. And they receive bat mitzvah. They read some portion of scripture, and they are given an official thing for themselves. In their white, in their Shavuos, in their confirmation Pentecostal finery. And I just find that an image that will not leave me. So when I say I've thought about this for a long time, it goes back to my childhood. So this dedication, this renewing of love, it doesn't just happen. It happens through faith. In Unity, we understand faith as the perceiving power of mind combined with the ability to shape substance. Faith. Peter is, in fact, Charles Fillmore, Charles's apostle of faith. John is his apostle of love. And if you go on into Acts, we find the two of them entering the world together on their missions, on their mission from God, as it were. So, faith, that important power. When we think about Memorial Day, we think about those who served, who were willing to give their lives for us, for our way of life. We have to remember they did that in faith. They did that in faith that there was something important, something worthy of their sacrifice, of their offering, that Omer that they were giving. And it just seems fitting for a Jewish girl about to become a Unity minister to remember the message of love, the message of dedication, the meaning of these sacrifices. Bless you. Not that I put a lot of stock in the idea of sacrifice. We could get into that another time. We've come beyond that. But we do understand consciousness and dedication and renewing that love. Are there places in your life where the love could stand renewing? Can you look at them and find the new dedication, the new energy, the new Holy Spirit to put into your life? I bet there are many places, many dry places, where the breath of God can bring new life, where doing something in faith, changing something today, making a phone call, writing a letter, just even holding someone in your thoughts and prayers today will make a huge difference. And I invite you to find that opening for the Holy Spirit in your day and in your life. And you are renewed by that love
of the Christ that you are. Namaste.